I was quickly walking down the streets of Lisbon, on my way to a client meeting, coffee in my hand, and I spilled it right over me. A woman hurrying past me noticed, and she stopped. She reached into her handbag and handed me a wet tissue. Positively surprised by her caring act, I said, "Muito obrigada," while she was already heading off. She could have just walked past me, but she decided to stop and help. It was a small gesture, but it had a meaningful impact. In the weeks that followed, I started noticing moments I could have walked past myself, and my behavior changed. I don't need to give you a list. We all know the small acts that can help others immediately and cost us not much more than our attention. If you haven't listened to the main episode yet, Daring to Care is where I explained that the most valuable aspect of care is that it propagates. When we model caring behavior, it travels, in particular when we are leading with care. The main episode showed that empathy and care are different capabilities. They are connected but not the same. Neuroscience has shown that they activate different areas of our brain. Practiced together, they help us to understand what someone is going through, and they let us act on it too. That woman paid attention. She noticed and knew that coffee stains don't make a nice impression. She cared enough for a stranger to act and help the way she could. This was such a positive moment that it not only changed my behavior. I told the story to many people, and quite a few came back to me and said they've become more attentive themselves, and that was just by hearing it. It's easy to care for people close to us, but to extend care beyond our inner circle is what shapes entire environments. This is the care propagation that researchers have tested. What they found is that acts of care can travel through approximately 3 degrees of social connection before they fade. The woman who helped me sparked me to help others. My help ideally traveled through 2 more degrees. That's the domino effect of care. So here's my invitation to you. As you move through the coming days, be slightly more awake to the small moments where someone could use your help. Give people a hand. Pick up things that others dropped. The person who dropped it may not notice, but others who see you will. Extend some kind words to someone having a hard day. In our noisy and busy world, we've become less attentive to our environment, and it shows. The carelessness we experience is not just others, it starts with ourselves. If we want a different world, care starts with us. This is the simplest but strongest practice of care, and you can apply it immediately. Next, I want to give you something that takes a bit more time and effort. In the main episode, I gave you one question that helps you to move from empathy to care. What do you need most right now? But that question only opens the door, so you better be prepared before you walk through it. The preparation is a small reflection on trust. It's a check how much trust there is in your relationship with the other person. As mentioned in the episode, The Broken Spine, trust and care go hand in hand. If we want to help someone, they need to trust us. And what I'm asking you is not just a quick check. Trust has several dimensions, and I want to give you the ones that need your attention before you ask that question. There are 4 trust dimensions that matter most. Let me walk you through them. The first is the trust of safety. It's the trust that you won't use what people disclose against them in any way. We don't want to share things with people who will use that information against us. The second is the trust of discretion. People need to trust that what they share will stay inside the conversation. Regardless of who else may need to get involved later, this initial talk has to show full confidentiality if you want to get an honest answer. So no potential listeners or devices that could record anywhere near you. The third dimension is the trust of presence. Leaders tend to jump to solutions and advice too often too soon. Check if you have such a tendency. People want to be heard before being helped. So prepare to be present and able to listen. And number 4, the trust of reliability. If people know that you will follow through with what you promise, they're more likely to share what they really need. Otherwise, they might be giving you what feels easy to get from you. These 4 dimensions together are going to influence the conversation. If any of these is weak, the answer you receive will reflect it. And the caring move is to recognize which kind of trust needs your attention. Ideally, all of them are there, but quite often, they're not. So walk into the conversation, aware of where trust is strong and where you need to reassure the person in front of you. If trust on safety has been thin or uncertain in the past, you can name explicitly that what they share will be used to help them, not against them, and what they will tell you will inform how you support them, not how you judge them. If discretion has been a concern, you can be clear up front that you will not share any information without their prior consent. If your pattern has been to leap to solutions and advice too quickly, you have to show them actively that you're listening and that you're not jumping to the first solution or advice that could potentially help. And if reliability has been missing, you can tell them that you're going to close the conversation with the next step and that you will commit to it. These are honest acknowledgments that you know where the trust is thin or uncertain. When you address a potential lack of trust openly and show you care to establish it, they tend to respond with more honesty. What follows is how you act on what comes back when you hear the answer to, "What do you need most right now?" It's a practice you can follow throughout the conversation. It holds three simple checks that will help you to keep focus. The first is called the completeness check. Once you have the most honest answer the person can give you, ask yourself whether it matches the situation you're observing. They may have given you an honest answer, but it can still be incomplete. As mentioned in the main episode, people who struggle also need orientation towards a solution. The first response rarely holds the full answer. You might hear something like, "I just need more time to finish my work," but what you observe are missing prioritization skills. Giving them more time isn't the solution. So you might want to follow up by asking, if more time is not an option, what else could help you? Your task is to recognize the gap between what was said and what would actually help. And your questions are guiding people towards seeing what they really need. In this scenario, the next answer could be more focus and less distraction. You see how this narrows the answer down? So keep in mind that the first answer may be incomplete. Follow-up questions also give people room to reflect on what the real challenge is and to get to an answer together with you. This is how professional coaches work. They don't hand people answers. They ask the right questions for the answer to surface. So once you have a clearer picture of what the person needs, the second check is on your agency. Do you have the authority, the resources, and the scope to make this happen? If the answer is yes, you can act on it. If the answer is no, the caring move is to be honest about it. Next, you can hand the situation to someone who has the agency to act on it. For example, if a person requires adjustments to their working conditions, you may need to involve other people to make arrangements. Address it and ask their permission to share the reason for who needs to be involved. Your agency can be used to make help accessible. Now let's move to the third check. This one is on responsibility. Even when you have the agency to act, ask yourself whether you should be the one acting at all. It's the hardest for the very caring leaders. But as a leader, you have to know where your ability to help reaches boundaries and limits. Some situations require help that belongs in the hands of someone else. A team member dealing with distress, mental health, or a difficult personal situation needs someone professionally trained to support. You may have the agency to listen, to give time off, to adjust their workload, but the actual help is not yours to provide. Recognizing this is not just protecting you from making false promises. It also shows that you have the humility to know your limitations. A leader who tries to be everything to everyone usually ends up being less than helpful to anyone. Letting go of that instinct when the situation calls for something different takes humility and practice. Pointing someone to the support they actually need, even when that means stepping aside, is also care. These three checks together can turn the caring question into actual help. First, you reflect on the trust. Then, you ask what someone needs most. When you are in the conversation, do the three checks. First, you keep in mind that the answer can be incomplete and you narrow it down. Then you check your agency to see how and if you can help. And the last check is about your responsibility. You help where you can, but in line with your boundaries and limitations. I gave you two practices today, one on small acts of care that you can immediately start, and one reflection you can use to prepare before you ask the question on what someone needs, combined with three checks to keep the conversation focused. So what's next? If you've been with me across all previous episodes, you have been working on something larger than each individual topic. We started with checking on the beliefs you're operating on. This was important because our beliefs shape our environments. When it comes to leadership, you need to check if how you lead is primarily confirming your beliefs or really shaping an environment where people can thrive and do their best work. The episodes that followed are six foundational leadership practices: grounded respect, holding power with care, confident humility, reclaiming curiosity, building trust, and daring to care. They connect in ways that you may not have fully recognized yet, but when you practice them consistently, they become the foundation of what the next episode is about: authenticity. And this will be the closing episode for the first season. Of course, there are more to come, so stay curious, stay tuned. Thanks for tuning into the New Work Playbook, where work gets better because people matter.